Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be back in Sydney, and especially for this fundraising event for the new proposed Radha Govinda temple here. It is definitely a very exciting prospect. News worthy of celebration that we will have another grand temple, a spiritual cultural center which can serve as base for spiritual and cultural renaissance and transformation in this whole region. The founder Acharya of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted our ISKCON temples to be not just places of worship where there would be deities and people would come and worship and sing, but in addition, and very importantly, he wanted them to be places of spiritual education. Places where people would gather together and be trained and educated in spiritual knowledge. We would always say that there are many universities and colleges that teach many subjects like engineering, medicine, accounting, economics, and so on. But where is that university or that department or faculty that teaches students about the soul, about self-realization? These are indeed the most important topics when it comes to education. Because education today focuses primarily on the academic part, reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, history, science, and so on. But there are two very important aspects of education that are not being touched upon in the universities. To some degree, maybe in the schools, there is something about character and about courtesies and manners, but only a very small degree. So those two essential aspects of education which are not being dealt with adequately or in many cases not at all by the modern education system. Number one is spiritual knowledge, and number two is the building of character and endowing the students with proper culture, spiritual culture. Now, since the schools and colleges are not doing that, so the burden or the duty rests upon spiritual institutions and temples like ours, where we will have to make do the shortfall in what is not available in the world, unfortunately. And actually what is happening today is that increasingly the world over, our ISKCON temples and also other spiritual organizations are being called upon or required to do that which was formerly done at home. So nowadays, because homes and families and parents in particular, they are not trained themselves in giving spiritual and cultural values to their children, so they want to pass on the entire responsibility to the temples or to the schools to do that. And since the schools are not able to do it or are not doing it, so then the matter rests upon the temples to do it. So therefore, spiritual institutions now have to step in and fill this void and fulfill this very vital need in the society. Because if you have people or children who grow up with a lot of academic knowledge but without the cultural moorings, without the cultural values and spiritual knowledge, we find ourselves in a very dangerous predicament. You see, because knowledge is power, and power someone who is not spiritually qualified and not culturally rooted can be very destructive. Power is something that can go to the head of somebody. Technology brings power. University degrees and knowledge in different subjects bring power. Even good intelligence can bring power. And as I was mentioning some days ago in Melbourne, that the greatest problems in the world are being caused not by the uneducated people or the illiterate people, but it's being caused by the educated, literate people. The more educated the people are, somehow it appears today, the more dangerous they are for the world. Because all the dangerous inventions that we find in the modern day world are created by the best brains in the society. So we will have a very lopsided scheme of development of human society if we only focus on academic secular education and give the children only that, and we deprive them of spiritual values and proper culture. And because our educational systems are not doing that, so there is a reaction. And we go to the other extreme, where we have indoctrination of children into very, very fanatic ideologies, which again wreak havoc and devastation in the society. So we are, so to speak, as a human society, caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, or between a hard and a rock place, a rock and a hard place. So this is where temples like ours in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness step in and can fulfill a very valuable role. So it is interesting and important that our project here has been titled Sri Sri Radha Govinda Center for Spiritual. What is the exact title? Spiritual and Culture, something like that. So that was the first part which I read there, which I liked very much. And this indeed is how we have to approach the society. What we have to offer to the society is not simply some blind beliefs in some ancient traditions which are of no relevance today. That's not it. This ancient wisdom and this ancient tradition has so much to offer to the modern day world. And our temples, and especially now the one that will come up in Sydney very shortly, not far from here, will be one such vehicle that will serve as a beacon light to the world around us. You know what a beacon light is? It is like a lighthouse. You know, in the olden days, when we didn't have navigational systems that were sophisticated, we didn't have GPS and so on. When ships were navigating the seas, they would navigate by the stars and the position of the sun, and they had a little simple magnetic compass and so on, and maybe some binoculars and so on. But many times, because of storms and the visibility was clouded, they could not navigate properly, and they would run into rocks or cliffs and so on, and there would be shipwrecks. So there would be lighthouses that would be stationed at different places. And these lighthouses, they warned the ships that this is a rocky area, or this is a shore, so please stay away from this. Or they would guide them in a certain direction. So the ships who were at a distance would then be forewarned, and they would take proper remedial measures so that there would be no accidents or no wrecks. So lighthouses serve a very, very useful purpose. There is a little story about a lighthouse which I would like to tell you. Once upon a time, there was a certain area, a small village, on the shore of the sea. And that area was extremely rocky, the sea. And very frequently, there would be shipwrecks. And many, many sailors would die. This was a regular annual feature. So the villagers would think, what can we do to somehow help with this? So somehow or the other, they decided that they would build a lighthouse in this area. And the lighthouse would then caution and warn all the ships that were coming. And in case there was any ship that was in dire straits, then the villagers could themselves go out in a timely fashion and rescue the sailors so that they would not die. So at great expense and with great trouble, they constructed the lighthouse. And one person would sit there, turn by turn. So the villagers would contribute their people, and they would sit. And the moment they saw, they would keep a watch all around in the sea. And the moment they saw that there was some ship in danger, they would ring a bell. And then the sound of the bell would draw the villagers in their entirety. They would come there in their boats and rafts and so on, and they would venture out into the sea to rescue the ship that was in danger. And they would bring them back. And this way, every year, they would save many, many lives. And this went on for some time. And gradually what happened is that the villagers started thinking, since we're all spending so much time in the lighthouse, might as well make the lighthouse a little comfortable to sit inside. So they started getting some sofas, and then gradually they started having their community get-togethers in the lighthouse. And there were more facilities. There was the billiards table, there was the clubhouse, and there was this and there was that. Many things started developing inside the lighthouse. And the villagers started gathering there and becoming more comfortable there. And time passed. And gradually that zeal that they had to save the lives of the sailors and to save ships began to diminish, because they were thinking, now let's make ourselves comfortable. So next time there was some danger and the alarm bell was rung, then fewer people started coming out from the village homes to save the sailors. And gradually as time went by, they started finding it objectionable. Oh, we have these people coming in from strange lands. Why do we have to rescue them? And then they come in here fully wet, and we bring them in the lighthouse, and we drench all our carpets and spoil our carpets. And who are these people? We don't even know them. So gradually, bit by bit, that original zeal for saving life diminished. And there was a group of people there who saw that the original zeal was now diminishing very rapidly. So they relocated to another place and formed their own lighthouse. And they started saving lives in large numbers. Whereas the original lighthouse started deteriorating. And eventually nobody went to that lighthouse except for it being a clubhouse. And nobody rang the alarm bell anymore. And not a single life was saved because of that lighthouse. But the new lighthouse had come up some distance away. And that lighthouse, many, many ships and sailors were being saved. So you see, our temples are like that lighthouse. The lighthouse that saves people in this world. The analogy of the ships and the sailors is appropriate, because in our scriptures, the material world is compared to an ocean. And we are all like shipwrecked individuals. Our bodies like a boat, and we are sinking and drowning in this ocean of material existence. There is so much suffering here in this material world. And as we are sinking and drowning, we have no refuge. We have nobody to come to our aid and tell us how we can be saved from drowning. But the great great saintly people, the great devotees of Lord Krishna are there who come and tell the whole world the message of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was one such great saint and devotee who came into this world and set up this lighthouse. He had this institution where there were many lighthouses that he set up all over. And therefore, because of this lighthouse, and many, many sailors, many people who were sinking in the ocean of material existence, got some respite. And they got saved. And they came to devotion life. They actually accepted spiritual life. And became extremely happy. And they came to a point where they would now no longer need to take birth again. So this is the purpose of our temples. To be like that spiritual lighthouse where people who are suffering in this world in so many different ways can attain relief, succor. And they will find genuine compassion, they will find genuine knowledge so that they can perfect their lives, find the real answer to the problems of life. How we get delivered from the problems of birth, death, old age and disease. So that missionary zeal has to be preserved in all our temples. Every temple has its challenge of going in the direction of that first lighthouse. So we should see that the temple doesn't lose its spirit. Now we will have some nice big temple coming up in a few years. And then there will be so much nice facility for us, like a clubhouse and nice facilities and sofas and comfort and nice lawns and everything will come up. So we have to ensure that that original zeal, that missionary spirit is not lost. And that this continues to be a college, a place of education where the marketing team is very strong. We go out in the streets and we invite people, come, come. Even when some people don't want to be saved, we tell them, come. We induce them and bring them to this most fabulous lighthouse that will serve as a beacon light for the society around. So this was the vision of our acharyas. We wanted the community of devotees in the temples to be like this. Not really formal places of worship, where people go merely to bow their heads or just socialize a bit and come back. Well, at least people do that, that is fine. Something is better than nothing. But a place of serious spiritual education, a place of genuine spiritual culture and spiritual transformation is what projects like the Sri Sri Radha Govind Mandir are intended to be. And for those of you who will participate in any way, you are very fortunate. Many of you are participating by rendering various types of sevas, like in organizing this program tonight, and in the regular day-to-day functioning of the temple in North Sydney, and also for the upcoming project. However, now the challenge is more, because as the time goes on, the responsibility to execute the project comes up. So many of you have the opportunity to also contribute financially and help in building this temple. So I thank all the devotees who are participating in this endeavor in a small way or in a substantial way. And I also thank all the donors, past, present and future, including the potential donors who will actually step forward to make this project successful. My heartfelt best wishes and prayers, and I invoke the blessings of Lord Krishna and Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who will manifest shortly, upon all those who will step forward to help this project in whatever way that they feel comfortable doing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj. We are very blessed to have you here today, and you gave some very wonderful points. Our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, in a letter to his disciples here, regarding household and life,